about an hour from now, Jennifer Pignolet from the Commercial Appeal will join us. She is the education beat writer for the CA, has been for about 4 years now. And she is covering and has been the story that's about to really be a big deal around here and maybe the entire country, as the school system is facing allegations of, well, just this cheating and grade changing, the stories that get worse and worse and worse. And by many accounts, they've just now opened the door on what's going to be an even bigger discovery once they get into it and keep searching. There's an auditing firm doing that now. One has already been through it, and now there's somebody else doing it. And the concerns among people, I bet there are people that are really worried about things they have done. Grade changing, passing kids that did not, they didn't do the work. In many cases, it was over athletes getting passed on and getting out of high school to go on to college and play football or basketball. And there's always some hinkiness to that situation. That is complicated, but not really that much. These coaches are all in cahoots. High school players get recruited from other. It's just incredible. And then your coach knows somebody at some SEC school, and they hook him up, and the kid gets sent down there. And his coach from high school may suggest that he go play for Arkansas, and the high school coach maybe gets a little love back from that somehow, and the cycle never ends. And so this kid with no education from high school, because he didn't do any of the work, can't read, can't write, can't add, can't subtract, but he's fast as heck and be a great football player. So they send him off to college with no education. He gets none there, and that's ignored as well. And then when he gets either hurt or his career in college football is over with, he's 21 years old and has no life in front of him. If he's one of the, you know, one out of, what, 5,000 kids that makes it to the NFL, good for him. How about the rest of them? They're left behind on the streets. No education, no future, and you wonder why crime is so bad. All of this stuff is linked. It's all part of this ongoing chain reaction. One step at a time, they end up in trouble. Basketball players are the same way. Some of these kids that go to high school and then go to college for 1 year, NBA, and then many of them are never heard from again. So, but this all begins in grade school, middle school, high school, in towns like this. This entire thing was done in Atlanta. This was a version of what happened here that went on down there. People went to jail. This involves allegations that have not come forth just yet that are of a criminal nature and can put people's butts in the big house. And so people are a little concerned around here about what they may or, well, what they're involved in as far as grade changing. Is it on the principals? Is it on the teachers? Is it on the top of the heap, Dorsey Hobson? Who is seemingly, or he claims to be unaware of any of it and calls the actions criminal, was the word he used. I like Dorsey. I have faith in him as a decent guy. He's in a really, really tough spot right now because this has happened on his watch. It's also unusual that the school board voted to give the guy a good size raise right now. It is retro back to June 1st when the issues began. Teachers got raises. He was supposed to get one, and it came this week. Isn't that timing strange? I mean, you know, good for him to make the money. That's all good. Kind of an odd time to give this guy a raise until these issues are sorted through and figured out. It's an endorsement of him as the guy in charge of the school system. Why do you give him this money now? To make sure that he cooperates with, well, I'm not sure with who. Which side? The teachers, the principals? are the law enforcement or whoever else might be involved in deciding if these charges are indeed criminal. It seems to put him in right in the middle of all this. And we have reached out to him as well. And he is not shy about coming on the radio or being in the media and discussing as honestly as he can what's going on. We'll see if that's the case this time. He's a good dude, and we mean him no harm. But we're doing our job, and he's doing his job. And there's nowhere else for anybody in this town to go on the radio or TV to discuss these things. And they need to be discussed. These are your kids in these schools getting, you know, passed over or passed on when they aren't qualified to do it because they can't read and can't write. You know, my sons have friends who have that are of their age group, and they really, really don't have the skills to get into the workforce because they can't. They just can't read and write enough to. And it's not their fault. It's their parents' fault. It's their teachers' fault. And this problem is like a wildfire. It is rampantly out of control. So we'll see if Jennifer can shed some light. She's done some great reporting on this, and she's not overlooking anything. She's going into the deepest part of this, and it is our suspicion that this has only just begun. And going to get uglier and uglier. Eight schools implicated, maybe a lot more. So we'll see, and we'll speak to her. We also have reached out to the former, the guy that was the principal at Tresvant, who began this story with an incredible five-page letter that we have that was in the newspaper, by all accounts. How did no one read and see that story? Because, I mean, it's intense.
Why wasn't it? Yeah, everywhere, you know?
Why didn't that just blow up the day that was? If you read this story and read what this man has to say, he is obviously very bright. It is well written. It is written in great detail. It points fingers. He's a Caucasian fella. That means he's a white dude. And the stuff that he endured over there, the spray painting of his car with racial slurs, the things he witnessed of a sexual nature, inappropriate stuff there, coaches, you know, leaning on teachers to change grades for their athletes. This is not okay. And that's one school. Mm-hmm. So this guy had the guts to get out and on the way out say why he was getting out. And now he has left the city. He's gone. And probably he, you know, watches his back every day. So between him and Mr. Hobson, we hope to get some answers on this. This city deserves to know what the hell's going on. And somebody, somewhere, is lying and has been for years. But this nonsense has to cease. This is the future of this city in many ways. These kids who are, you know, 12 now will be 22 someday, then 32, and they'll be in charge of things like, you know, well, you know, the city and politics and jobs and all that. And we are turning out in droves a bunch of uneducated kids, and it's unfair to them and to everybody around them. So, who knows? Back to the important stuff, sports. No, not really. This story last night rolled out. We've been saying this all year long and discussing this ad nauseum. The National Football League, the ratings are taking it in the, they're not going well, let's say. The one game of the week that usually sustains itself every week is the game on Sunday night. It replaced the Monday night game as the big game of the week on NBC. And this past week, with a great matchup, a division rival game with Pittsburgh and Baltimore, which should have had a great game, lots of offense down to the wire. Ratings were down 35% from this time last year. Nobody cares. CBS's games on the weekend have gone down from last year about 30%, ESPN down 10%, and the games on Fox that are usually pretty good games, they're down about 5%. Overall, the entire league down from last year 10%. For most of the season, and they keep pointing to this as the reason, which I think this has passed us by. This was a big story that I believe has become the fatigue factor on the discussions of players kneeling. There was a point to be made by Colin Kaepernick. He made the point, and he said his piece, and now he's going to be a, you know, martyr. Just forever. He did his thing, and then they all had to emulate what he did. Well, though, that's become old news because it got complicated. His whole point was to protest racism with the white cops and the black perps and the shootings and all the injustices in his eyes that were being performed in this country, and he made his point. Well, then Trump turns it into disrespect of the flag and the anthem, which wasn't really ever the point. And so these guys don't even know what they're on their knee for. So that has kind of worked its way out of the news cycle, and it isn't discussed much. The last thing we heard was the owners were going to have a little vote on, as we discussed, the first part of the season. You can end this immediately. College football is this way, so why can't the leave the players off the field till after the anthem? After all this, you know, patriotic display of, you know, fireworks and jets and flags being unfurled, let's do all that. Then bring the players on the field. The end. Problem solved. No, it takes the meeting of 31 team owners, and it's so absurd. But that's hurt the game. The fact that many of the big stars this year have been out, Richard Sherman, Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt, Odell Beckham, Andrew Luck, now Carson Wentz, and so on. Zeke Elliott for the Cowboys has been out. They list that as one reason why the numbers are down. There aren't that many stars. The biggest issue here, I think, as somebody who has watched this and has loved football for a long time, I mean, Sundays to me were game day, man. It was on. And you're up early, fired up, and watching every game you possibly can. And, you know, anymore, I don't care. I've lost complete interest, mainly because the majority of these teams are not any good. These are the best athletes in the world in this sport, but the teams are boring. It's predictable. All these games that are 12-9, who cares? There are four or five good teams, and that's about it. And the rest of it is not worth watching, and people aren't watching it. That's why the numbers are down. So where they go with this one, who knows, but the big names, all these marquee names, they're just not there anymore. The teams suck. There's the Patriots. They're good. The Eagles are good, but they've lost their quarterback for the year. The wild card teams, the Cowboys, the Packers, always big names. They may or may not make it. Pittsburgh is good. The Jaguars have their moments. Who else? See, the Rams are good, but the rest of it has been just at best inconsistent, and people aren't watching the games, so that's their problem. More people hurt this week. I love this story. The Giants have their problems with Eli, and they've changed coaches, and they've won two games, and they're awful. They have fined their cornerback, Eli Apple, because during the sidelines, during the game, in uniform, he was on his phone tweeting during the football game. He's been inactive for the past 4 weeks, so he wasn't playing, so, he was tweeting and whatnot. That's a really, really good look. There was a game last night that I never even thought about. It was on the TV, I suppose. It never crossed my mind. Denver 25, the Colts 13. Okay. Last night's NBA games, Detroit wins, the Knicks won. Cavaliers won again, Minnesota won, and Golden State won. Tonight, the Grizzlies play the Atlanta Hawks. These two teams have the two worst records in the NBA. So this should be a barn burner. And the Grizz play tomorrow night, too, and the Cardinals of Louisville and the Tigers tangle tomorrow in New York. There's some tournament or something. So that pretty much is the gist of it in the sports world. As far as the email world, the address is mail@drakeinthemorning.com. Poor Sid has to read them. Wes is off today, so she has to go through and see what's readable and what's not.
You know I don't mind. We were talking about cat names yesterday. And the ones that, I don't remember the category, but so somebody, we were like, who the hell's Dottie? Dottie was from A League of Their Own. And Nala, I guess, is from The Lion King.
Okay.
Thank you. Bill says, when do you think men are going to start to tell their stories about being harassed by women?
Yeah, that's a good point, dude.
He went on a job interview with a female vice president of the company. When I presented my hand for a handshake, she said, oh, no, I'm a hugger, and insisted on hugging him. And he said, was I harassed? Her breasts were on me and her arms were around me. Bill, I think you were harassed.
I think you should sue. Yeah, this is out of control, too.
I mean,
but it should not diminish the fact that a number of men have done a lot of really bad, dumb things.
No.
But it is also getting to the point of a little bit ridiculous. Yeah, this never stops. Today, again, it's Dustin Hoffman. You know, it's just hard to picture some of these men in situations where they think it's okay to pull their penis out and ask somebody to pet it. I just don't get the mindset. Or if it's real or but it is obviously true. Guys like Charlie Rose and Matt Lauer didn't even bother to fight back. They just apologized and left. Mm. So that's an obvious admission of guilt. The story of this guy up in Kentucky, I want to get back to this guy who blew his head off yesterday. He's a preacher and a politician. And he was accused of this by this young girl of doing something really ugly to her some years back. And he went on Facebook, left a post, said that God knows the truth. Heaven is my home. And then he blew his head off. If God knows the truth and you're innocent, why'd you blow your head off? So now his wife, the next day, I guess while she plans his funeral, is going to run for the office that he leaves behind in Kentucky. Waste no time, hun. She thinks he was accused falsely and that this whole thing is out of control. She refers to them as high-tech lynchings based on lies and half-truths, and they can't be allowed to win the day. Well, there may be some substance to that. But if your husband was not guilty and was a preacher and a man of God, suicide's not really okay in the Bible and with the spiritual folk. But he chose to off himself, and so I call that an admission of guilt. But what do I know?
Hmm. Brad went to IKEA, and he says, great store, wide variety of goods and good prices, but big cars from in and out of state. Asked an employee where was the restaurant, and there was, because there was only a snack bistro, and he said, follow that arrow to the wall, turn left, and my eyes must have glazed over because he said, follow me. Cafeteria setting, metal utensils, china plates, glass drinkware, very nutritious fare. He says what he ordered, meatball plate with gravy, mashed potatoes, a salad with a generous serving of salmon, yummy dressing.
Who cares?
Reasonably priced. Well, he's excited about it.
Well, great. I'm not.
He says we're fortunate to have that corporate neighbor paying good wages for that industry and benefits even for part-timers. So
we're going good. Good, good.
Rachel loves the Smithereens, and she said, I grew up as a teen in the 80s. The Smithereens were a huge part of my country road tours. Whenever one of my icons passes away, I can't help but ponder upon the prophetic songs from years ago. Can you play Love Is Gone? It could be our new anthem, says Rachel.
Pat DiDizio passed away. Yeah, that's really too bad. He was a really good guy, and that band's lead singer and main songwriter, and they plan to go back out on the road next year and do an album. But Pat apparently had some issues with falling down, and it affected his health, and he died at 61 years old. That's rough.
Very sad. Leonard loved the broken theme this morning, especially the Kenny Wayne Shepherd. Sean says that City of Memphis employees are switching from Cigna to Blue Cross Blue Shield on January 1st.
Okay, cool.
And let's see. Scotty says Episode 8 is by far the best of the newest Star Wars films and near the top of the list in the entire series. I highly recommend it if anyone listening cares for the series, as most do.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know which one Episode 8 is. Sorry, my husband would know that. And Drake's son would know that.
Yep.
And Wes would know
that's
that.
That's great.
Paul says, one of the fundamental truths that I learned about being a leader in the Navy was to accept responsibility for my actions. He's talking about the schools that include responsibility for the successes and failures of those that I was charged with leading. I find it hard to believe that Hobson wasn't aware of grading improprieties in the Shelby County school system. Presumably, he visits the schools, mingles and talks to administrators, teachers, students, and parents. You'd think at some point he'd have smelled a rat regarding this grade debacle. If he is that hands-off and out of the loop regarding day-to-day operation of the school system that he's in charge of and was genuinely unaware of grade changing, he should be fired, Paul thinks. So,
well, this is a really touchy issue. And being a good guy is one thing, and we like the man, but it is extremely hard to believe that he isn't aware of some sketchy stuff that goes on over there. They are all under extreme pressure to perform and to have high test scores and high grade scores in all the schools. It involves how much they get from the state for funding. They already have a budget of $1 billion. And so the pressure is on everybody, teachers and principals. And it's also on him at the top. It is a little bit hard to believe that he didn't know. He knows the pressures, but I can't imagine that he does not know that there's something going on. Grade changing, I believe, as he pointed out, in some cases is appropriate because these kids on occasion retest, they have summer school, and they can change their grade. That's acceptable. Having it changed to benefit an athlete or somebody else is not okay. And that's the problem. So we wait and we will see.
Mail at drakeinthemorning.com if you have something to say.
All right, cool. Thank you. What song did that girl want to hear by the Smithereens? I can't find it.
Did I
was going to try to help her out, but I can't. Love Is All We Have or something? I don't know where it is.
Damn it.
Sorry, I can't find it. Whatever. The Sleep Number bed is great. There's one at my house. We've had it for a long time, and just love it. About 10 years into our experience with those beds. They have them in this area. There are three stores. They only have them at their stores, not just any old bed store, the Sleep Number stores only. They're in Wolf Chase. They're at Saddle Creek. They're in South Haven. And right now they're having their big sale with financing and all that, with some great new plans. But this only goes till the 18th. That would be Monday. So if you stop by, they will run down all the sales to you, how to get their credit card, how to finance it for 48 months. Right now, there's a big sale on the Queen mattresses at $899.99. That's a great price from this company. The beds, they have kings and queens and other additions like pillows and bed toppers and many, many things. But right now, they're even more affordable with the special financing for 48 months. On all the beds, stop by and ask about them. Minimum monthly payments required. Ask the store for details, and they'll help you out at the Sleep Number store near you. Saddle Creek, South Haven, and Wolf Chase. You can go there and find out more about the great experience of sleep with the Sleep Number bed. We'll do a few dumbasses of the day here and some other news and nonsense from around the world. before 8 o'clock, and then we'll talk to the lady that writes about education for the Commercial Appeal. Jennifer Pignolet will be here to answer questions about this. If you want to ask her something, you can email it. I mean, she's been deeply involved with this story for a while, so we'll see what she has to say about this after 8 o'clock. We'll be back with more of this in a moment.
From the Lafayette's Music Room Studios, this is the Drake Hall Show on WXMX, Millington, Memphis, a Cumulus station.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Oh, that's stupid.
That's just as stupid as anything I ever heard of.
Well, that was stupid.
Why is everyone so f***ing stupid?
It's just stupid, all right?
Innovating is icy. Stupid, dumb, and icy.
You're blistering it yet?
I'm so stupid.
Don't you have any brains?
Dumb as a bag of Mississippi mud.
That's the stupidest damn thing I've ever heard of in all my life.
Moron, 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 moron.
Okie dokie. We will look at dumbasses now because they are endless. Never-ending stream of entertainment based upon dumb people. These are about people shooting each other and pooping in wrong places, and it's really, really entertaining. Party time. It's that time of year, I guess. People are drinking too much and just don't care anymore. This is from Pearl City, Hawaii. A man named Don Little and his roommate. Now, one of these guys is 61, one is 51, and they're roommates. I'm not implying anything. So they're having a little soiree at their home last Friday night. The party came to an ugly end when police had to show up and arrest Mr. Little, he's the older one, on attempted murder of his roommate after he flew into a rage, grabbed a knife, ran after his roommate and stabbed him in the leg, leaving a foot-long cut. The guy's bleeding out. The reason for the fallout? The roommate came into the party a little bit late and did not bring any beer.
Well.
So dude cut him about a foot long on his leg, and next time he'll learn. In Chicago, 48-year-old Raymond Loser, or Looser, either way, he's a loser, has been arrested on charges of he tried to murder his adult son on Tuesday. 48 years old, trying to shoot your son. To make matters worse, this could cost Mr. Looser his job. He's a sergeant with the police department in Chicago. For those wondering why he would have shot his son in the stomach, thigh, and shoulders, because he drank 3 cups of vodka, and then he put some water in it to act like he wasn't or had been drinking or something. But he was drunk and shot his kid 3 times, and he's a sergeant on the PD in Chicago, or used to be anyway. From across the pond in England, somebody called the West Midlands Ambulance Service in a panic. There was somebody covered in snow sitting motionless on a bench in a park, not moving. They were concerned for their health and welfare. The ambulance and police rushed to the scene and discovered why the figure was not moving. It was a statue. In New Jersey, a man felt the call of nature. I thought this story was going to say he had to tinkle, and we all do sometimes and do it in places we likely shouldn't, but everybody's done it. Don't lie. Even girls.
Yes.
So the guy had to use the bathroom, but it was number 2. And I, for all the things and places I have had to pee, I don't think I've ever had to go the other way that's so bad that I had just stopped and dropped trow and grew a tail. As they say, he crossed a railroad bridge over the Passaic River in New Jersey. He dropped his pants and squatted. At the same time, a train was approaching and hit him as he was trying to poop. The train knocked him up in the air, off the tracks, into the water below. Police and firefighters plucked the man out of the water. no word on the condition of the poop or if he, in fact, evacuated his bowels before being hit by a train.
He's a freaking live.
I suppose it knocked the out of him. That's my guess. And in Ireland, Alex Birmingham helped his grandmama decorate her Christmas tree earlier this week. And Mama had been out buying some new ornaments. She apparently is a little bit older. Maybe she knew exactly what she was doing. The decorating led to a priceless discovery when Alex realized that the ornaments his grandma, who's 75 years old, had purchased were actually clear plastic balls with purple G-strings inside. Okay. Even better was when Grandma said that she, that the shopkeeper must have thought that she was really kinky because she bought six of them. She knew exactly what she was doing and bought little underwears to put on her tree. So thank you, Granny, for spicing up the holiday season.
Yes.
Coming up, we're going to talk about the Shelby County school situation, which many people are intrigued by and wonder what the hell's going on. We're going to find out from Jennifer Pignolet, who is the education writer, the beat writer on the school system. It has been for 4 years. I don't know if she has seen this coming. The point that we start from this year is on June 1st. There likely are more things before that that were some warning signs. Well, they've been there forever over the processes of how they test these kids. End of the year was always the big time. Then it became a year-long affair of endless testing. This has cost people their jobs. Teachers are, they either are kept or dismissed, or they get rated and graded on how their kids perform. And so I suppose, along with the urging of various coaches in sports, they have been changing grades. Not one or two here or there, but so far 1,000, I believe, was the last account in one of her stories. And it was just one school. Tresvant was where this began. And then it went to Kirby, and now it's 8 schools out of 100 and something, and you wonder how many more are involved. Sources close to this story indicate that it is a lot worse than anybody knows or has reported. And that's the fear, I'm sure, of the Shelby County system. And Dorsey Hobson, who has been running this show for 4 years, I find it a little bit hard to grasp that he isn't aware of, well, he's aware of the pressures on these teachers and principals to meet certain requirements to keep their jobs. It's also incumbent upon him to, you know, watch this stuff and keep these people in line and not let this get so out of control. But he's the guy in charge of this, and this happened on his watch. And you have to wonder what his answers are. He seemed a bit shocked by it, which kind of shocks me, and says that if this is all true, that it is criminal. The word criminal may also come into play if this continues to be, well, if these things keep being uncovered. There are people now looking, there's some outfit auditing, I suppose, the entire system to see what has been going on. But this does not look like a pretty story with a happy ending. And we're going to find out more from Jennifer when she joins us in a few minutes. Other things going on. Well, you know, Star Wars is open, and Lord, where everybody just was getting dressed up and going out and had their swords out and their little costumes on, and it was a big. They're all lined up, and my kids were going last night, and they were all excited. And okay, Wes probably went. He's probably still there, and I'm not ever really understanding this. My wife wants to go see it. She's into it, and she really isn't a nerd. So I guess everybody has their faults. What do you have?
I guess you brought your lightsaber today.
Where did that come from?
Grizzlies.
Well, how timely.
May the grind be with you.
Maybe they should give the players one of those each so they can win some games.
Ah, it lights up.
Oh, it lights up.
Nice.
Far out. Maybe the team should have those on the court to help them play better. Well, that's pretty nice.
Very nice.
So they are giving out lightsabers. Well, that probably is tonight's promotion at the game, I would bet.
Probably.
So Star Wars opened The Last Jedi or whatever it is, and the reviews are mixed, but anybody that goes, I'm sure, loved it. I watched episode 3 last night of The Punisher, the Netflix series. I have gotten caught up in this routine. There's so many choices, though, and there's Hulu, of course, there's Amazon Prime. I have not gone down those roads as of yet because Netflix offers so many of these shows that are really, really high quality. And it is no wonder that nobody is watching anything on network TV because they cannot come even close to the quality of what Netflix does. HBO still, you know, they still do some stuff, and Showtime does, and Starz does too. But Netflix, I mean, this is some great acting and great writing, and it's, you know, top-notch work. And The Punisher is based upon a Marvel comic. Now, I would never have known that, and there's no indication of that in these shows. But, man, it is powerful stuff. So, Ozark, we've been through that one. We've been through Godless. I'm not sure if y'all have watched that, but if you like Westerns, this is just so good and so smart and so well done. And you learn things about history, and it has perhaps one of the best shootouts in any Western ever put on film in the last episode. It is remarkable. So Ozark and Godless, Stranger Things is really, really good. So there are all these things to watch, but The Punisher is... just one season so far. I've watched three of those, and it just makes you just kind of sit there and just can't move because it's riveting. So that might be your weekend. Or but plus there's a shopping to do. Today is the free shipping day. Don't forget about that. Almost everybody in retail does this. Amazon, Target, Toys R Us guaranteed Christmas Eve delivery, so you can shop online tonight to your heart's content. The other headlines of the day are somebody has really messed up this tax plan. These politicians and the prez were celebrating a little bit too early. And now Marco Rubio, I wonder if Trump regrets calling him Little Marco and busting his chops on the campaign trail. Rubio has said he will not vote for this plan unless they change the child tax credit. It is not enough money for those that don't make that much money, and it's just unbalanced and unfair. And I think he is to be commended for saying this is wrong. All the rich guys get their stuff, but people that don't have those kind of high-paying jobs but still want families and have small children need some help too, not just corporations and rich people. Normal folks, remember us? We're all out here, and they have no idea what it's like to live a normal life in a town, making no money, having a family, 2.8 kids and a dog, and trying to get by. So Rubio said he ain't going to vote for it. Bob Corker already said no once. John McCain and Thad Cochran are both illin, and they can't vote. Mr. McCain, it sounds like, is not doing at all well, and that's very sad. And so that's four right there, and the margin of error here is not good, and these numbers do not run in the favor of this being passed. And they have sworn to everybody it'd be done by Christmas. You got 10 days, boys, 10 days. Though that's a big deal, and we'll see about that. People are also talking about, and I don't understand why there is not more of a question, and there is among some people. Why do we think that it's it is normal and okay for the American president and the president of Russia, and we're really not buds. They had a big phone conversation yesterday, the contents of which were not disclosed entirely, but that's no surprise. But Mr. Putin is on the side of Trump. He is trying to, or he is saying that all this investigation is being overblown and that nothing happened, which is really unusual. That he's trying to, I don't know, to cast a positive light on Mr. Trump and is calling this entire investigation, which is already proven that some things went down. There's no question about it. But why is he suddenly being so nicey-nice and wanting this to go away? Well, the take on this by many people is because, as was mentioned a year ago and before that, that the Trump organization and their businesses have interests in Russia, like hotels and like golf courses and all things like that. And doesn't it kind of start to make sense? What are the odds that Mr. Putin is involved financially with some promises from the Trump outfit that they will cut him in on the deals if he helps them get it done? Hotels, golf courses, you know, like in Moscow or...
Sure.
So that's one reason right there. And I don't know why people don't see how these things work. This is business. That's what Trump does, is business. And Putin isn't dumb either. So they're in cahoots on that, most likely. And they're in cahoots on what went on during this election. There's too much evidence, and they are trying against... They want Bob Mueller to go away so fast. They're trying to get him out of the way and rush this. And so all that stuff is too complicated, and I think we've all lost interest. We shouldn't, though, because it affects everything. So they got Buddy Buddy on the phone. The one positive thing, I think, out of this whole conversation, and all I know is what I see on the internets, and if it's on there, it must be true, right? The only good part was that Putin suggested to Donnie John to calm down about North Korea and do not even think about any kind of bombing of that country. Chill. Now, that's helpful, because if Putin and Trump are big buds in business or whatever they're doing, maybe he will listen to Putin. He doesn't listen to anybody on his staff or in this country, but the Russian president tells him, and maybe he'll listen. Doesn't that sound insane? Yeah. I mean, I can hear the words in my head what I just said, and I go, so he ignores everybody on his staff, but when the president of Russia, we are not allies, we are not friends. But when dude tells him, lighten up on North Korea, bro. Okay.
Roger that.
It doesn't make any sense. But none of this makes any sense, and it's not gonna make any sense ever. Paul Ryan wants out. No one knows exactly when. So he's had enough. But no one knows when he plans to bail. But he's just biding his time. And there's other stuff. It's a big day for travel. So look out for that. If you're traveling, it's going to be nuts everywhere. Gas prices have gone down a little bit from Thanksgiving. So that's a good thing if you're driving. So those are pretty much the whole thing. It's almost time to speak to Ms. Pignolet from the Commercial Appeal about all this goings on. I got some other stories about Christmas trees made out of beer cans, you know, fun stuff like that. And we'll play some Eagles a song at some point and give y'all this double CD that came out. Hotel California is 40 years old, and they want to give you, or they have put out, this double disc with extra tracks and things like that, because the Eagles don't have any money to buy their kids gifts for the holidays. They need some more money. And so when you win this, you qualify for the grand prize of the box set or something. So that is going on too. Harry's.com, a great idea for gifting this holiday season. I have one of these box sets for my dad, and it is really good looking. It's classy. It's in a nice wooden box. Great presentation. The winter chrome thing is the eraser is the one in my box. They have that one and one in emerald green for the holiday season. But Harry's razors, the newest thing in shaving. And in this little box comes the German-engineered five-blade cartridges for that close, comfortable shave, the foaming shave gel that smells really good, and the handles, and they can engrave it for you, too, but you better hurry it up. Go to the website, harrys.com. The gift sets are as low as $15. When you use the code, which is Drake, D-R-A-K-E, the ground shipping cutoff is today, so don't be a dummy. These things are really affordable for your pop or your husband or your son. Act now to get this thing done today. Harry's.com, enter Drake, D-R-A-K-E, in the code thing, and save some money off on this today, up to about 20%. But free shipping is over today, so don't dally. Harry's.com, the code is Drake. We'll do a break and come back and talk to Jennifer Pignolet from the Commercial Appeal about the ongoing story about the Shelby County school system and where this will be going.
You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.